Hello, dear family of Community of Faith. My name is Marco Monroy, and I'm very glad that you are here. Welcome, everybody. Before we get started, we have a video for you from our youth ministry. Let's watch the video. Excellent. Remember the importance to help our youth to connect with all these activities, okay? I don't know if you've seen the video Karina and I made to announce the reopening of the building of the church. We will do it the first days of October, the 1st and the 4th of October. But I would like you to watch the video because there's a lot of information regarding the safety measures we will have, who may come, etc. So please take a look at it. It's on Facebook. Today we will end our series. We are studying the armor of God, and this is the last message. We titled it, The Armor and the Prayer. Let's pray. Father, we are very thankful for your love. We are thankful because we feel your presence during this series. I ask you today, once again, to join us and that your Holy Spirit opens our ears, eyes, and prepares our heart and help us receive this message that we all need to hear. Father, we put ourselves in your hands, in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where the passage that talks about the armor of God is, Paul the Apostle teaches us very important things. Actually, at the beginning of the letter, in the second chapter, there's a passage that is maybe one of the most famous passages of the New Testament. It's not in your program and it's not going to be shown on the screen, but it's a passage that I think that we all should have all keep on our heart. The passage is Ephesians chapter 2, versicle 8 to 10, where Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not on your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What Paul is saying here in the first place is that faith is a gift of God. That means that when God puts faith in your heart, and when you put that faith in Jesus Christ, he gives you salvation. For grace, we are safe, not for our acts, but for our faith in Jesus Christ. But then he says, "What for we were saved, created in Christ Jesus for good works." This means we were supposed to do certain things that God prepared beforehand. In other words, since the beginning of the time, God had planned certain acts, actions, form in which you and I should live life, so we glorify him and bear witness to the world. This passage in the letter tells us how to be good sons, good parents, how to be good husbands and wives, how to behave at work, how to treat people correctly. In other words, you were saved by God and now you need to live in a certain way for God's glory. And after saying all that, he tells us, from now and on, you need to stand firm in God's power and to help us understand the firmness that we need to have and the tools we have to stand firm. He does an analogy comparing the armor of a Roman soldier to the different tools we have in Jesus Christ to fight the spiritual battle. He says, this war you are in is a spiritual war and you will need an armor, okay? And then he gives us the total of the armor as what we need to live, right? We talked about the truth as the foundation of our life. We should have the Christian vision of the world, which is described in the Bible as the foundation of everything we do. He talked about justice, I mean the justification we receive from Jesus for free, in a certain way, set us free from the guilt we feel for what we have done. We can walk and feel right with ourselves because Christ justified us. Then He talked about the disposition to mobility that gives us the peace of the gospel. When we are on the other side, we already won. We are in eternity with God. And this gives us peace that helps us go through the things we live in this world. Then he talked about faith, that is like a shield where the burning arrows of Satan crash, and this shield turns them off. Remember, it makes Satan's attacks, that sometimes are very hard and painful, harmless. With the shield of faith, stop these attacks. Then he talked about salvation as a protecting helmet that protects us from the very subtle attacks from Satan. Remember, those attacks are very light, but shows us ours and others' weakness to discourage us to keep living the life spiritually. And in the last place, he talked about God's word as a sword we can use to gain ground. We saw it in people's heart, destroy fortresses that rise against the knowledge of God with this word. God has given us everything we need to live this spiritual life. Remember, we need this armor because evil is multidimensional. This means we are fighting against the spiritual enemy, against the body that has sinful tendencies, against the dysfunctional world that tries to convince us to live the wrong way. Therefore, we need the complete armor of God. Now, before starting studying this very important part that Paul talks about, that is prayer, I want to leave two very important thoughts in your head that we have already mentioned through the series. I think it's something very important you should remember, and it is crucial for you to use the armor, and the armor works. The first one is, you need to start using the armor so it starts protecting you. It may sound very simple, but the only way all these things will do what they were designed to do is if you apply this in the middle of the battle. This is what will allow us to stand firm and victorious from these battles. This is what Paul told us in Ephesians 6, versicle 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. We need to wear it. Do you know what is our problem? We have the tendency to be good at listening sermons, reading books, going to conferences, but we are not that good to apply this to our lives. You need to remember that the object of studying God's word is not to accumulate knowledge, but to generate action by practicing these things. When you use knowledge in a practical way, the knowledge in the Bible, that is what transforms you into a wise person. Knowing many things not necessarily makes you wise. I know people that know the Bible by heart. They may quote passages in a different Bible version, but have messy lives because they don't apply these things. You need to have the armor ready and use it when the enemy attacks. The more you use the armor, the more it works, and the more you fall in love with God's word. You realize it does work. So you need to use the armor so it starts to protect you. The second thought, using the armor gives us victory, but that doesn't mean it will be easy. You need to realize you can think that just because you have the armor, battles will be easy. Unlikely. You need to expect battles to be difficult and be conscious that the battle will be rough. That's why Paul calls it a spiritual war. Think about what a war means. Wars are something awful, and worst at that time where wars were fighting one by one. Think about the life of a soldier in the middle of the war. It was something awful and tired. There were moments where they barely make it on going. But here, the important thing is that you don't give up. Keep going on. Remember, we've gone already. We have a task that is why we are here, in this world, gaining ground. And that's why we need to continue working with our spiritual disciplines, even though sometimes you don't feel like it. Even when you think disciplines aren't really doing nothing in you, believe me, they are. You cannot follow Christ and not grow. Think about it this way. Spiritual disciplines, prayer, meditating on His word, memorizing versicles, fasting, being in silence, just waiting for God to talk to you, or being in communion with other Christians, worship, all these are spiritual disciplines. All these are not like an aspirin. They are not like when you have a headache, you take one, and in 10 minutes the ache is gone. They are more like vitamins. When you are feeling bad, you take a vitamin and nothing happens. It is the continuity, taking consistently vitamins, that gives you physical healthness. Well, the same happens with spiritual disciplines. The continuity in them is what makes you better spiritually talking. You have to look at this life not like a sprint race, but a resistant race. We are in a war where we should resist. Look what Paul tells to his disciple Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 chapter, versicle 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I mean, this won't be easy. There are some churches that they preach that if you follow Christ, your life will be easy. We call this the prosperity gospel. Everything is going to be all right if you follow Christ. But I'm convinced that the only thing these churches produce are frustrated Christians, because the Bible tells us we will face adversity. And the problem is, if you don't expect these problems and adversity, when they happen, you get discouraged and want to give up. The enemy takes advantage of this moment. When he sees you doubtful, he attacks even worse. I believe that living in this time we are, it's a disadvantage, spiritually talking, because here in our country, people dream about prosperity, dreams about having a life where they don't have to worry about anything. That's the idea of success. But the Bible promises are not about peace and joy without a spiritual fight, but peace and joy in the middle of the spiritual fight. So you need to have this very clear, or it will be very easy to defeat you, because there's always something wrong. This week, everything happened to my son Alex. First, his heater was turning off, so we brought someone to fix it. And then the fridge went broken, we fixed it, and then a window. And he told me, why there's always something wrong? And well, in this world, everything tends to break down. That's the life we live. There are moments of calm, yes. Suddenly everything is quiet and fine. And it's even scary. What will happen? And during these moments of calm, you need to rest in Christ. But be alert, because that calm portends a storm. We won't have a perfect calm until we are in heaven. Easy Christianism is possible only for people that is trying to do nothing for God's kingdom. And that people is frustrated because they are seeking false success in this earth. And that's why they never feel fullness. Because the only fullness, the Bible says, is when you live for the purpose God designed you. So you can try to live easy Christianism. You need to advance, and there will be war. When you stay in your comfort area, you don't do anything for God's kingdom in your cozy couch, God becomes more and more unreal, and the Bible more and more unnecessary. Because if you are not living for His glory, then you don't need Him. So little by little, you get away from Him. Okay, so with these two things clear, you need to wear the armor, and nobody won't be easy. We can now pass to the last part of the passage. In your program, the next passage, that is Ephesians 6, versicles 18 to 20, it's separated and we will study them. I'll read it once, they will be shown on the screen, and then we will study them. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul finishes talking about all the elements of God's armor and immediately connects this with prayer, like saying, God gave you the armor and now you need to give it the power of prayer. Actually, you have this talked in your program. The armor only works in communion with God through prayer. Paul is telling us that prayer is what turns on the armor and what makes it work. Prayer should be like the atmosphere where a Christian enters the battle always. Every time there is a battle, constantly, Christians should be in prayer, constantly praying. If you try to win battles without prayer, this means you are trying to win in your own strength. Pray is what connects us with the powerful power, turns on the armor and makes it work. So Paul makes us see the importance of prayer. And then he gives us like a working program. Actually, you have it like that in your program. It says working program for our prayer living. It's like he gave us a list of things to do so we can be in prayer correctly. So let's see that plan. He started saying this. Praying at all times in the spirit. This means we have to be guided and ruled, filled with the Holy Spirit when we are in prayer. Why is this very important? John the Apostle, in his first letter, tells us we need to pray accordingly to God's will. On his first letter, chapter 5, versicle 13, he says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So we need to line up with God's will. Remember, the Spirit of God is what enters and knows God's will. So we need to line up with him in order to pray according to God's will. Now, how do we accomplish that? Here, we can see the importance of the belt of truth. Remember when we talk about the belt of truth? You have to make the Bible the foundation of your life. Internalize God's word, that his word lives in you, that you are immersed in it. It's the only way to know God's will. Paul tells us this in a versicle we've studied many times before. Romans 12, versicle 2. Do not be conformed to this world. This means don't live like the others. Don't live like others say. Just because everybody says it doesn't mean that it's right. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We've talked about this before. This means to take out of your mind all the lies of this world and putting in all God's word. That is truth. But look what Paul says. It will happen that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This means the more you renew your mind with God's word, the better you know his will. The more you study his word, the more your mind is renewed, and the more you know his will, and more powerful your prayer is. Okay, so pray in the spirit and praying at all times. This is one of the messages that Jesus tried to impress in his disciples. Remember that in the time of Jesus, the master had disciples that followed him everywhere, and he tried to teach them with example and impress them the truth while he taught them, and look what he told them in Luke 18, versicle 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. This means your mind has to be ready to pray, always, at all times. And Jesus gives us two options. You may pray or you may lose heart. Which one will you choose? Some versions of the Bible translate the part of lose heart to give up. You may pray or give up. So what Jesus is telling us is that someone that does not turn up to God in prayer will end giving up. Now, at all times doesn't mean you have to be praying 24 hours a day. It means you have to pray consistently and in every circumstance. This is the most important part here. We need to create the habit to pray first, every time we face anything, any circumstance. You need to pray first, every time we face anything, any situation. You need to pray first. Think how many times a day you face situations, but you don't pray. During the day, 1,000 things happen to you. How many of those things you do without even having a thought of God? Why this happens? Because we think that prayer is only for serious things, for things where only God can act. So our way of thinking is, There are things under my control, and for those things, I don't need God. But if you think like that, do you realize what that means? You are taking God out from a big part of your life. Most of the things you do and decide, you don't even think about Him. You are taking Him out of here. And this also means that in all those small things, you are fighting with your own strength. Remember, the enemy is stalking at every moment, and you don't know in which banality he will attack and defeat you. You need to pray at all times. He continues with point number 3, with all prayer and supplication. There are some Bible versions that translate this with pray with all kind of prayers, with all kind of prayers. What Paul is saying is that you need to learn the art of praying, because there are many kinds of prayers. There are public prayers when you pray together. There are private prayers when you, in the private and secret, like Jesus said, are in communion with Him. There are worship prayers, confession prayers. There are intercession prayers, thanksgiving prayers. And obviously we pray according to the situation we are facing. Like, for example, if I lose my job, I'll pray asking God peace and to help me find another job. It is a request. If someone in my family gets sick, I'll pray for intercession. Lord, please help this person, heal this person. I've lost my patience and spoke badly to someone. Lord, forgive me. I confess that I'm acting in a wrong way. Help me strengthen my heart. Someone is healed. We glory to God. Lord, we thank you. And all kind of prayers. Now, how can we pray at all times with all prayers? Paul tells us in point 4. He says, keep alert. You need to be alert. The word in Greek means watching everything. You need to pay attention. The enemy never rests. What we cannot do is going through life in an indifferent way, with guard down, thinking we can just rest from the spiritual life. Have you seen in the news soldiers going through the streets, for example, in Afghanistan or Iraq, during these wars that have taken so long? Soldiers go through the streets walking, and they know that maybe hidden in a building there are enemies that may attack them. Can you imagine these soldiers saying, oh, it's 12 o'clock, I'm going to take a rest while? Obviously not, because they are in the middle of the war, so they are very alert. Being alert is another advice that Jesus gave to his disciples in the Gethsemane, in Matthew 26:41. These are words of Jesus. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Like it or not, we bear with a body that is willing to sin. So the question is, who will you allow right your mind? I don't have a lot of time for this, but I will try to explain what I mean with this. The Bible says humans are formed by 3 parts: spirit, mind, and body. Spirit is the part that puts him in touch with the spiritual world. Body is what has us in touch with the physical world through our senses. Mind is where our will, emotions, decisions, thoughts reside. Your mind is what directs your life. Now, your mind may be directed by the spirit or by the body. When a person does not awake his spirit and simply lives in the natural way, then he lives for the appetites of the body, like an animal. Whatever he wants, he does. When your spirit awakens, the more attention you pay to your spirit, your mind starts willing to satisfy the appetites of the spirit. So, the more spiritually guided you are, the less physically guided you are. Your body has less control of you. You have more self-control. This is a fruit of the spirit, self-control. So the question is, what will you allow direct your mind, the spirit or the body? When you are alert in every moment to run and pray to God, you are allowing the spirit direct you. So I think we have to be alert into particular and important situations. We need to pay attention at the beginning of an attack. You need to realize when the enemy attacks, because the best moment to defeat an attack from the enemy is at the beginning, when the negative and sinful thoughts come. In that moment, we need to adapt. You cannot allow your mind to surrender to anything it wants. Martin Luther used to say, it is not your fault, it's a bird stands in your head, but it is your fault if you allow it to make a nest there. Thoughts come like birds to your head, and that a sinful thought comes is not a problem, but if you entertain it there and you keep it there, we all know what happens when a sinful thought comes and you have it there for a while, when you realize you fall into it. So here we have to be very honest with ourselves. You know yourself very well. You know your weaknesses. And by the way, Satan knows too. The problem of many people is to stay too close to the wrong things, and Satan only has to push a little to fall. We need to stay as far as possible from those things we know that tempt us. So you need to be very honest what you battle with. Maybe addictions, lust, or control, greed, maybe envy, pride. You know what you battle with. So when these thoughts come, you need to identify them immediately. What thoughts trigger falls or relapses in your life? And when they come, what do you have to do? We need to pray. We need to go to Christ. Actually, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 10, tells us exactly what we have to do in the second part of versicle 5, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. At the moment it comes, you catch it, you don't wait, and take it to Christ. And if you go to Him, the Bible says that the power of the Spirit helps you defeat temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, versicle 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. This means we all face temptation in the same level. God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. So we may endure temptation, and He ends like this. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way out to escape, that you may be able to endure it. So when the temptation comes, God will give you a way out. But what does Paul assume? That you will go to Him. Because if you don't go to Him, how will Him give you the way out? So we need to catch these thoughts, take them to Christ, communicate with Him, and He will give us a way out and help us to be strong and defeat temptation. But it has to be at the beginning, because many people, until they are in the middle of the mess, say, I'm going out to God. But it is more difficult. It is at the beginning, when thoughts come, because when the bad actions have already started, it is more difficult. Thoughts can be catched and given to Christ. So we need to be alert at the beginning of all attacks. Now, on letter B, when the enemy tries to distract you during your time with God, you need to be alert, because let me tell you what will happen, and maybe it has already happened to you. You are trying to read your Bible, or maybe in your prayer time or meditation, and suddenly all the duties you have to do come to your head. You start to remember your to-do list, or maybe catchy thoughts come to your mind to distract you, and they don't have to be necessarily sinly or evil thoughts, but simply when you realize you are no longer in prayer, but thinking about what will you do tomorrow. You are distracted and no longer in prayer. You are thinking about something else, or maybe you are reading the Bible and you have already read a whole chapter but can't recall a word you read, because you may be reading but thinking about something else. Like now, you may be listening to me but thinking about something different. When these things happen, you need to pay attention. Obviously, there are things you may do before as a very practical way to avoid that kind of distractions. For example, if you read your Bible in a messy table, surely the objects there, even if you are not looking at them, your subconscious is looking at them. So if you have a mess and notes everywhere, that will distract you. So you need to read the Bible in a clean place, specially assigned for that. And, for example, when you are praying, close your eyes, so you may concentrate better. And if what attacks you are things to do, I recommend you to have an agenda. A list of things to do is one of the most de-stressing things in the world. When you take your things to do and choose and a specific time to look at them and prioritize them in a certain way, you take them out of your subconscious and put it on paper. If you don't write them down, your subconscious is trying to remember them and distracts you, okay? But it is before. In the moment, you need to be alert. If you are reading your Bible and realize something is distracting you, in that moment, stop and pray. Actually, we should always start our devotional time praying, and as a part of that prayer should be, Lord, help me focus and concentrate. Please stop all distractions. Don't let me be distracted. But if in the middle of your reading or praying or meditating, you realize there are thoughts that are not part of it, but taking you out of focus, you need to catch them, take them captive, and give them to Christ. Ask Him to help you concentrate and get back to concentration. So, we need to be alert when Satan suddenly attacks when we are trying to connect with God and distracts us. Point 5. With all perseverance, making supplication for all saints. Here are two important concepts. One says, with all perseverance. This doesn't mean pray once in a while, but consistently. You know what is the problem? That many times people pray when they have time. And we should make time to pray. Take a time from your devotional to pray before and after. You need to start asking God direction and finish Thanksgiving, etc. And during the day, we need to be alert for any attack and go back to pray. We need to persevere in prayer. Let me tell you why this is important. When people stop praying, stops having a deep communication with God through prayer, because all relationships depend on communication. When you stop praying, a process of erosion starts in the firmness you face things with. Suddenly, you don't feel that firm because you are no longer in communion with God's power. So suddenly, Satan's attacks are more, you start to get cold and letting yourself to the world. That is why it is important to connect with other Christians, to be in small groups, working in a ministry, to serve somehow, because these things connect you with your brothers. There are collective prayers, and these things motivate you and somehow recharge your spiritual batteries. If you are trying to do life on your own, it is very difficult because you are trying to go against the world, and we need to be hand by hand to each other to be able to be against the world. Then Paul said, for all the saints, so we need to be praying for each other at all times. And there are two very important areas we need to pray for the others. The first one is to pray for the needs of other people in all areas, work, health, marriage problems, sons, whatever. We need to be praying at all times for others' needs. Actually, when you pray for others' needs, it may happen that God shows you you can be a part of the solution, that He sends you to help somehow, and even if you don't have how to help someone else, you are interceding in front of God. So we need to pray for others' needs. And the second, we need to pray for God to help others stand firm and not to trip over, to help them continue. Think about this. Church's success depends on the success of the individuals that form the church. When those individuals walk victoriously, their testimony opens gates. The testimony of someone that faces situations, maybe pain, strong temptations, but ends victorious with passion and excited, it is contagious. And this people's testimony helps us for others to see where they were and where they are now. But when individuals are losing, falling, tripping over, then the testimony closes doors. Once someone told me, you know what the problem is with Christianism? I've known many Christians and it has been very disappointing. Testimonies like those close doors. It is a tragedy, but it happens constantly, everywhere. I'm sure you've experienced it and listened to those things. So we need to keep praying that God gives them strength and helps them reconnect and go victoriously. And finally, Paul invites us to pray in a particular way. Point 6. Paul says we should pray evangelistically. Where does he say that? In the last two lines, versicle 19. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Last week I told you the apostles were always saying, Lord, help me preach, let me preach. Here we see Paul doing that, but he is asking us to pray for him. So he's saying you need to pray for the other Christians so they also work for the Great Commission, not only to not to drip over or live correctly, but Lord, help them help. Take them to preach. I think from this passage come off four things. First one, we need to pray that God allows people proclaim their faith without fear. Help them, God, to open their mouth and proclaim their faith without fear. Second, for opportunities to share, like we pray, Lord, put people on my way, put also people on my brother's way, so they can proclaim their faith. Third, put them the correct words. That's what Paul said. Help me so God gives me the words. Well, you pray that for others. Lord, put in their minds your ideas, your thoughts. You guide their path. Be their strength. And finally, so the hearts of the people that listens to them responds positively to the gospel's message. This is something we should be doing all the time for everybody. So, what Paul is saying, the armor of God is all you need to live this life correctly. Now you have it, turn it on. Give it power through prayer. Prayer is a connection to the power supply that turns on your armor and sends us victoriously to the front. That is the armor of God, and that is the importance of prayer for the armor to work. Let's finish our series thanking God for everything we learned and celebrating together the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Father, we are very thankful for all we have learned during this series. We have learned how a Christian life should be lived and how you have already given us everything we need to do it. We are thankful for you provided all these things and also because you've promised that when we talk to you, you listen to us. That when we learn and start understanding your will is when more deeply we can be in communion with you. We thank you that you gave us your spirit and your word. You tell us how to do it. Help us, Lord, to do it. To go forward and use these things, living for your glory, trying to win hearts for your glory, no matter how rough the battle is. I ask you, Lord, for strength in the situation we are living now. I know for many people all this is very difficult due to the economy. People is sick around us. I ask you for help for all these people. Lord, I pray for peace in their hearts, for those struggling, so you let them know there is a light on the other side of the tunnel, and that even though things are complicated, we remember that our hope should always be in you. For all this, Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice your Son Jesus made on the cross, that ensures us that one day we will be in your presence, in total peace, without pain or tears, no disease, no temptation. We thank you, sir, and we remember that sacrifice that opened the door for us while we eat this bread and we drink the juice. And we ask you, Lord, to be always our guide and let us move forward in your power. We ask these things, Father, and remember all these things in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Very well, with this we finish our series. As always, I'm showing here our bank information and thank you to those tithes and offerings. Believe me, it's been difficult. The situation is complicated, but we keep going with power and confidence that God will do his work and his plan, no matter what happened around us. But thank God for these tithes and offerings. We pray for all of you that in this moment can do it. May God heal your economy. Don't get disconnected. Keep online with our different activities and remember the building reopens on Thursday, October the 1st at 8 p.m. and one service on Sunday, October the 4th at 12:30 p.m. But please watch the video, especially if you're a little nervous about safety. I want you to hear what we are doing so we all are safe. It is for us the most important thing. We love you with all our heart. May God bless you and be with you all time. And if He gives us life, see you here next week.